Mr. Douglas, reel 11. Yeah, when you came back to England from France in 1940, I just wanted to recap and where had you been and recap in order where you were stationed at.
We were sent first to
you were regrouped with Aberdeen.
Anyway, we went to Rugeley and then we came back. Yeah. We were given leave and then we were ordered back and we were stationed at Abbotsbury. Mm-hmm. And from there we went to Seaford. Abbotsbury and then to Westby. That's on the coast near Sussex somewhere. Anyway, we were there for a while, Westby. Nothing much happened. And then from there, I went to hospital. And while I was in hospital, the battalion moved to Taunton, so in Devon. And when I came to hospital, I was sent back to Bransworth. You know, that was a headquarters. And from there, I was sent to the 16th Battalion, because by then, I think the 8th Battalion had already gone abroad to North Africa.
Can you remember when that was, when you actually joined the 16th?
It would be 1940. The latter end, the Bathar of 1940, I think. And they were stationed at Thetford, and we used to guard the aerodromes and that, you know, fence metal, do guard infantry training and odds and ends things. And then from there we went to the coast again at Winchelsea. The whole battalion was along there. I think they were guarding some sort of radar in that area. You know,
that was coastal defence around sort of Norfolk area.
Yes.
No,
that was down on Dungeness near, you know, Thetford. On the coast, Rye, Winchelsea, the St. Paul's, Dover, in that area. Of course, there were had patrols at night, you know, I think. And I remember stationed there when the Americans came in the war. I remember being so pleased. I said, I'm pleased at least we've got America in on our side. I was so very pleased about that. And of course, shortly after that, we went to North Africa. The Americans had already landed there. They were already in North Africa. You know.
So, how long were you at Thetford then?
But I'd be getting on for a year nearly, I don't know, I suppose. Because I remember I got leave. No, that would be 42. I got leave for Kenneth, was it? 1942 there. So we went there, 41. So it would be 42 when we went to Winchelsea. When did America come in the war?
When did you go to the 12th Corps training then that you described earlier? Can you remember when that was?
It was, I think it was when I was stationed at Thetford. No, either there or from when Winchelsea. It was one of those two. Because, you know, you were going on all sorts of courses, so mustard gas and different things, you know. You had to learn, had to take into a hut and show you, put a drop of mustard gas on you, show you the effects of it, and how it affected you when you breathed it, sort of things. But yes, I'll be stationed down at Winchelsea again when that happened. So that would be 1942.
Because from there you went to
1942.
Africa eventually, didn't you?
Yes, and they went to Africa and landed at Algiers.
Just before we come on to Africa itself, when did you find out that you were going back abroad to serve?
Oh, well, they don't tell you these things. They don't tell you. You just get orders, you know.
Can you remember where you were when you got those orders?
Okay. Yes, at Winchelsea.
You were at Winchelsea, you're right.
Yeah, that's when we had got orders, wanted to clear up and were leaving. You know, and you had all your inventories to do for your billets, cookhouse all to clear up. Oh, a lot of work involved when a battalion moves, quite a lot of money.
How did you feel about that?
Well, as I say, we weren't sure where we were going, but we had an inkling like it probably would be abroad somewhere, but we just went. Moved and
so you were just
Liverpool.
You would just be given orders to move.
Oh yes. Given orders, we're going to move. You see, it was security. Men from Talkman means you kind of trust me when you get a drink or two, and they say, "Oh, we're moving to so and so." So they don't tell you. It's just security, really.
I suppose rumours must have been rife. A lot of
those rumours going that we're going, but nobody knew for sure where we're going. But at least not higher ups might have done, but not.
You mentioned these preparations that you had to make. What did that entail? What kind of preparations did you make for the battalion to move?
Well, you had to move your billets over. So you came and then there was an inventory of all things, bulbs, this, that, and the other. And you had to make sure that all the men had all their equipment. You had parades for, say, that their boots was properly cobbled and socks was mended. It had all the equipment that they're supposed to have. None of it was missing. So that we knew it was something that, you know, you had to be fully equipped. And so we knew we were going to make a move somewhere. Because it could have been just up into Norfolk or anywhere, but we didn't know exactly where. And
What about uniform? Were you issued with any more kit?
No, didn't get any kit with that. That would have been a proper giveaway, wouldn't it? That they had given you like kit for Africa. Because at the time the mood was cold, so there was very little indication that you would give any kit for a hot country, you know. You wouldn't get them in England. If you got it all, you'd get it when you went there. Of course, it was the middle of winter.
Were you given any embarkation leave?
Yes. Yes, we got a fortnight's leave. Not all at once, but, you know, the men worked out about 4 or 5 weeks. But they got leave. That was another indication that we probably would be going abroad somewhere, you know. But you didn't know where. And then we moved up, as I say, to... Next thing I knew, we were boarding a huge liner in Liverpool. I don't know what ship it was. There was no name on it, like, you know. It was a big ship. Big ship. A lot of men on it. Big, big liner.
The whole battalion, whole... Division moved, did it?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole battalion was on it.
The whole battalion. And more besides that?
Yes. There was others, you know, supporting troops. Because a big ship, you didn't come in contact with them all.
I think you said it was a liner. Has
well, as I say, I was fortunate. I had a cabin, being a sergeant, but the men were below decks. And it was a fast convoy.
What were the conditions like on board the ship? What was the accommodation like?
For me, I was all right. But for the men, it was terrible. The below decks was hot, humid, you know, and they were sick, and the stench. But there's nothing you could do about it, you know. I went down to get them up to keep them fit, get them up, do some PT on deck, running around the decks, this, that, and the other. But I was glad to get out of the place. I said, if I stopped down there, I'll be like them. So I wasn't so bad. But even I was sick of before the voyage was over. The voyage was 4 or 5 days. I remember we went through the Straits of Gibraltar at night. Because we see the lights of Gibraltar. Because it was neutral, you see, it wasn't in the war. So they had lights. Because we were blacked out and everything on the ship, like, but I saw the lights as we passed through the Straits of Gibraltar.
Was the ship on its own?
Oh, no.
Did it have an escort?
No, there was about five ships. There was more than us, quite a few ships, and there was escorts and that, like. But he didn't take a lot of notice because he was sick. And the weather wasn't... The Bay of Biscay, it's not very good, the best of times. In the middle of winter, it's a really rough place, the Bay of Biscay, I tell you. You couldn't see. At times you could hardly see anything, you know, when the waves were splashing up. You just sort of kept under cover and hoped you didn't die. For seasickness. It's a horrible thing, seasickness. I stuck it out, as I say, for a couple of days, but as I say, they had this Christmas dinners on board and everybody enjoyed it when we first set away that morning.
Because it was Christmas Day when you sailed, wasn't it? Christmas Day 1943.
They got Christmas dinner pork and that. And once they hit the high seas, there was nobody turned up for tea. It was only me and Corporal Clark. Or Corporal Brown. I said, wait, there's nobody here. And I had a pail full of eggs, hard-boiled eggs. So I says, we'll have a beast. Rather feast. I was made a pig of me, so I like hard-boiled eggs, but I had far too many. And I started to feel squeamish. But they said it's a psychological disease, so you're not going to be sick and you won't be sick. So I said, I'm not going to be sick. And I wasn't sick for a day or more. I fought it, and I wasn't sick. But I felt sick. Felt very, very sick. And I meant to finish it. If I'm just sick a little bit, I'll feel better. But that was it. I should never have done it. It was fatal. Once I was a bit sick, that was it. Sick. Horrible. And I just lay on my bunk, flat, for most of the time, trying to survive.
What were the conditions like on the ship? I just want to talk a little bit about what was the food like on board?
Well, as I say,
probably not a lot of people ate very much.
I didn't eat anything after them eggs. Nobody ate anything, I think. Nobody turned, none of the men, as I say, they had hammocks. Some was on the decks, lower decks, just two or three decks. And some were on the decks, some were in hammocks. They were nearly all sick. It was stinking. There was nothing they could do because they couldn't get up. Man, I went down a couple of times, but I said, man, that can't do any anyway.
Conditions were quite appalling, wasn't it?
Sorry for the men, like, you know. It was really rough.
What about sanitation? Washing and toilet facilities, what were they like?
There was toilets, like, you know, I managed all right, but when you don't eat, you don't go to the toilets. As simple as that. You don't eat, you don't drink. You just don't. It's funny experience, not a very pleasant experience.
What were you doing to fill your time in? Did you do any training?
Just as I say, trying to keep fit. Odd ones you could get. And it started on the first year. Yes, we were doing some PT. But that field has fizzled out. And I mean, the sailors, they seem to be all right, like the people in charge of the ship. But even the officers was bad, man. Sick. It's a horrible sensation. There's just nothing you did. You just lay it down and let the time pass. Hope you got to where you were going. I think most of us thought, I don't know whether we were told we're going to Africa, but most of us thought we'd be going to join the Desert Rats. That's where we thought we were going, you know. Because the lands in Africa had been kept fairly secret. But they had had landed a force. The Americans had got there before us.
So how long was your journey on board the ship?
About 5 days.
Did you have any stopovers?
No, didn't stop. Zigzag. You know, just zigzag.
Did you ever feel under threat from enemy action whilst you were on board the ship?
No. Whether the people in charge of the ship would have lookouts and one thing, because there was always a danger of being torpedoed. Our ship wasn't torpedoed, but one ship was. I don't know whether it was with us, but I heard one ship had been torpedoed near the Straits of Gibraltar. But it wasn't our ship. I did hear. I don't know whether it was true or not. But there wasn't an escort with us, destroyers and that. They were pushing around you, looking after you. But we never had any enemy action on the ship.
How did you spend your free time whilst you were on board the ship? Was it?
Well, as I say, I walked around trying to keep myself fit, but that heaving sea, you up and down, and the ship was rocking, and waves coming over, and you just didn't feel like anything. And once you're sick, once you're seasick, it takes a hold of you. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a psychological disease, the sea.
Did that make you feel better or worse when you were sick?
Worse. Definitely worse. They told us before we got it's a psychological disease. And if you say yourself to yourself, you're not going to be sick, convince yourself you won't be sick. And I stuck to that. I believed it. And I don't think I would have been sick if I hadn't. I gave way with it, what I shouldn't have done, But I thought, after 2 days, I thought, if I just sick a little bit, it'll ease the situation. And it didn't. It made us worse. Because I was really, really sick after that.
The ship was crewed by sailors. Were they Royal Navy sailors?
I don't know whether the Royal Navy, there would be some Royal Navy on there, I think, but whether it was the proper ship's crew or what, I don't know. We didn't see much of them, but I think there'll be more Royal Navy than civilian crew. Even the officers, they had better abilities. Because the men, were below decks. And I think it was two or three decks. And they were, the stench was terrible. I'd been sick, man. And the ones in the bunks had been sick on the ones on the bottom. And they couldn't care less. They just wanted to die. It was really rough, mind. It was really rough. It was on the biscuit when we. I'll never forget that voyage. When they expect a man to fight, if he's got to embark and go straight into action, he wouldn't have much chance, I think.
Where did you go to? Can you remember?
Algiers.
It's Algiers, the port of all.
We landed at Algiers.
At Algiers. Uh-huh. What were your first impressions of Algiers?
I had to get off the ship. It wasn't so bad when we got in, you know, through the stretch of Jordan into the Med. It was a lot steadier, calmer. Men were starting to recover a bit. There wasn't the heaving and the waving. But they were all glad to get off the ship. Everybody, I think.
What was Algiers like? Can you describe it?
Huh?
What was Algiers like? Can you describe it?
What was...
The town like Algiers?
Well, we didn't see a lot of it. Didn't see a lot of it. I remember having a brew up on the quayside, but we were warned to the natives was liable to attack, you see, because the Free French were still fighting sort of thing against, and we were warned to be careful, or liable to get a knife through your ribs, you know, don't go wandering off and keep in groups. Until we got pulled round from the voyage. I remember the first thing was a cup of tea. I said, brew a cup of tea. I enjoyed that cup of tea on the quayside after we landed. We were brewing up. And from there we would transport and we went. I don't know what they called the place. It was somewhere south of the... somewhere you could see the Atlas Mountains in the distance. We were in a big warehouse place, stationed. And there was a lot of orange groves. I remember the orange groves growing, but we were warned not to touch them. And if you wanted oranges, you had to give the officer the money. And he would go and purchase them, bring them back to you, see. Took your name, how much you handed in, and he would buy them for so much a shilling, pound shillings and pence in them days, and give you the oranges. So I had a good feast of oranges. Everybody ate a lot of oranges. I was eating 12 oranges at a time. But we warned, whatever you do, don't look at the women. The women would be all... masks on, but don't look at them. If you stare at them and look at them, they'll get a good hiding from their husband. So we were told that, so we... Not that I didn't see many women.
Did you see much of the local population?
Not a lot.
You didn't have any contact with them?
Yes, we had a bit of contact. Saw them... It was a small town near where we were, and... Went there, and of course, wandering around the place, I was talking to one of the fellas in charge of the orange groves. He had an old musket thing, and he was sort of a guard to protect the oranges. And I remember they had like big, round steel tubs with water in. For to water the oranges. I remember that. But we went there a great long time.
What was the camp like that you went to? Did you describe some kind of warehouse?
Well, yes, it was some sort of a warehouse, I think, for put oranges in. That's where we were billeted.
How many of you were billeted there?
Our company. Maybe a week. Just enough time to get acclimatised a bit, and I think every week or fortnight the most, and then we were trained up into up into the battlefield late, you know, where the fighting was. Because the Americans had already taken all the land up as far as I can't remember names. Somewhere near Sonny Tongue End and all, I can't remember. But anyway, I remember we were on the train and see the names of these places, you know, because it runs up along more or less along the coast, the railway and the roads, because the south's all desert and that.
Just before we come to you moving up to the front, in this period of time before you moved up to the front, what sort of things were you doing to prepare?
Well, nothing really, nothing. Just getting acclimatized to the heats from, you know, from, not that it was all that hot, but it was certainly a lot hotter than England. But still, winter there. It wasn't like the middle of their summer or anything.
What was the weather like? What was the climate like?
Warm. It was warm and sunny, dry. And we did go on march up towards the Atlas Mountains. The company commander took us on a route march, but we're about 5 or 6 miles there. 5 or 6 miles back, something like that. I remember that one day we went on route march. And as I say, we didn't see much of the population, but we didn't know much at all, really.
What was the food like there? Hmm? What sort of things were you eating there? What was the food like?
Oranges. We had an army of essence, like, you know, the food came up, bread and bullet beef, jam and bread for tea, sort of thing, the ordinary army rations. But we ate an awful lot of oranges, because of oranges. We hadn't seen oranges. You know, oranges were rare in England. I'd been for years. And to see them there, and an orange fresh from the tree has a different taste to one that's been picked green and ripened up in a box. They were lovely, juicy, or delicious. I ate oranges every day. At least a dozen, sometimes more.
What about sleeping and washing facilities? What were they like?
Well, you had your best you could do. Petrol tin could open and put some water in, you know. And we hadn't no proper facilities. It was not like that.
Where did the water come from? How did you get the water?
I haven't a clue. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was. It was because you weren't allowed to drink. You don't drink water, stagnant water. You're asking for trouble. But we had water carts, Kim. You put proper water in, and you had your water bottle, of course. Had your water bottle.
What about sanitation and latrines?
Well, it was the usual. Hole in the ground sort of thing. You know, dig a latrine. And that was your sanitation, right?
How did you keep yourselves clean?
Best as you could. You had to shave every day and wash. But we didn't have any laundry facilities and not like that. In England, of course, you came and collected your laundry every week, you know, your dirty washing, put it in your name and it was handed to you, and it came back and it was issued to you. But once you go into action, you don't have anything like that. You keep yourself clean as best you can, that's it.
Were you still inspected during this?
Oh, yes. There was a parade every day. Every day there was a parade. You know, your weapons, make sure your weapons are clean. And that you yourself are clean.
Were you issued with any other kit at this time?
No, not that I remember. No, didn't get anything, but I don't know whether I don't suppose they'd have much time for a special kit, like, you know, came away in a hurry and that was it. But we didn't have any special kit issued. I thought we might have got sun helmets or something like that. It wasn't all that hot, like, you know, it wasn't nothing to give you a sunstroke.